message this morning about profession or possession. And our thought is good works. We need some works to go with our profession, our profession of faith. We say that we believe God. We say that we have faith in God, but we need to have something to go along with what we say. Not just saying, I believe God, not just saying, I want to live for God, but works to go with it. God is expecting good works from us. And good works glorify God. He will get glory from our lives if we have these good works. Let's go to Matthew 5, 15 to 16. It said, we'll do 14. It said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your good works, our good works, will glorify the Father which is in heaven. So when we think of good works, we might think of things that we do for others, and that is good works. But also, the way we live is our works, our life, how we handle one another. All of these things can be in the category of good works. If we handle one another with love and with compassion and with kindness, good works. Those are good works. And also, not only that, maybe we have other things that we do for people that's good works. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5, 24, 25. It is important for us as God's people to have good works.
1 Timothy 5, 24 and 25.
Yes.
Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to the judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid.
You see, there are people that have their sins. They send them before the judgment. They've already taken care of them. They're not doing them anymore. Some of them wait too late, and they follow them after, We don't want to be like that. We want to have take care of the matter of our soul while we have an opportunity. We don't want to wait till the judgment and those sins are following after us. The same way with good works. We want to have some good works to go with us in the judgment. But if we don't, we're going to have to pay the price. So we need to realize how important our works are. But we don't want to look at works as though I'm doing this for God, so he's got to do something for me. Or, you know, I think I'm going to be, you know, sit on the right hand of God or on the left hand of God because of my works. That's not what the kind of works the Lord is talking about. He does want us to have these good works. But he doesn't want us to take the attitude that God owes us something by the works that we have. We want to do them as our devotion to him, as our love for him. That's why we do those good works. And also as a part of his change in us. He has made a change in us. If we give our heart to the Lord, he will make a change in us and we'll have some good fruit or good works. Kind of reminds you somewhat of the thought last week we were talking about sowing seeds. Let's go now to James 2, 14 to 22.
James 2 and what, 14?
Mm-hmm.
What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart ye in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Thy faith without thy works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
Yes.
Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?
Yes.
Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect.
So in other words, Abraham had faith in God, but it didn't just stop with his head or his desire or his mind. But he put it was in his heart, and it brought action. So we might have faith in God. That's good. But then there should be some action with that faith. He believed God, but he not only believed God. When God told him to offer Isaac, he did it. He went to do it, just like he said. This is what God wants of us. To have faith in our heart is good, but it needs to go beyond that. It needs to go to some action. And we need to do some work or do something about it. If I believe God, then let me give my life to him and do what he says. You know, I believe God. Sometimes he will tell me something to do. And when I follow what he says to do, I'm putting what I believe in action. And that's what he wants from each of us. We're going to have to demonstrate that we love him. There needs to be some action to our faith and our belief in God. It's of no value if it's just I believe and we do nothing about it. We don't put any works with it. But we must do something about it. If the Lord deals with our heart today, let's move. Let's put some action to what he deal with. If he says to us, you need to do this or you need not to do that, let's put some action with it. Let's move and do something that will be works with our faith. Now let's move on. We don't want empty faith. We don't want things to just be empty, but we want to be put some works with the things that we know God deals with us too. I remember a sister I know, the Lord had dealt with her to go into the ministry. And you know, it seemed like she just kept waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. But now she's begun to move. And that's what he wants us to do. As the Lord deals with our hearts, Let's move. Let's put some works with our faith. Look at Jesus. Jesus was our perfect example. It said, just as Jesus did many works. And when we look at, read the scripture, we see the many works that he did. And those works pointed back to God. Our works will point back to God. It will give, God will get glory. It pointed to God's being in him and he in God. When we look at all the people they healed and the many miracles he did, we know that those good works pointed to God was in him. One man came to him and said, we know that no man can do these good works except God be in them. And that's true. God was in him and his works were manifest to the world. It manifested God. It manifests the power of God. It manifests the fact that God was in him and he in him. Let's go to John 10 and read 33 to 38. And just like Jesus' work manifested God and pointed back to God, our works will point back to God. People will know who we are, that we are part of God by our works. We're working the work of God. We're doing the right thing. We're living according to the scriptures. It points back to God, and he gets the glory.
John 10 and what?
33.
The Jews asked him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy.
I think maybe you should go up to 32.
32. Jesus asked them, many good works have I showed you for my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?
Yeah, that's gone. That's it. That's right.
Jews asked him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, maketh thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, that blasphemeth, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him.
You see how that those works pointed to the Father. We know that Jesus was the Son of God. He didn't come here just saying he was the Son of God. He proved it by his works. And yet, we can believe God, Jesus, because we know God's word is true. And none of his word will fail. But Jesus set that example of doing good works. And his works testify that he was in God and God in him. If we do good works, not in ourselves, not to lift up ourselves, but the works of God, it will testify that we are who we say we are. And we want that. We want to have a testimony, not so much of the words we say. If you remember in Brother Adams' message, he was mentioning about the publican, the Pharisee and the publican, and how they went to the temple and how the Pharisee was saying, I fast twice in a week and I do this and I do that, and you know, I'm not like this publican over here. He had a testimony of a profession. But the other one just said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Actually, the other one got help, and the Pharisee got no help. We can have a high testimony of being saved and being sanctified and living for God. But what's really going to prove it is our works. How is our lives manifesting to the world that we are who we say we are? Let's go now to 1 Timothy 5 and read 9 through 11. We want to have works that's going to follow us to the judgment. We want to have some good works.
1 Timothy 5 and what?
9.
Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. That's it.
Keep going. Just read all the way to 11.
Well reported of for good work. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, and if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refused, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they were married.
Okay, but what he's saying is talking about widows, but there are some works that she did. She didn't only say, you know, I'm living for God. I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. But her works were manifest. And in this scripture, it's saying if she had, let me see. It says, being well reported of for good works, if she has brought up children, if she's lodged strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet, she did something. She showed something of what she really, what was in her heart. If she relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. And one scripture said, this is the work of God that you believe on me. If we live according to the scripture, there's going to be some good works. If we have given our heart to God seriously, there's going to be works to follow that. And so this is what God is going to expect. In the judgment, it's not only my profession, it's going to be how I live before him, how I live before others, how I treated others, what have I done to show what has changed inside. When we get saved, there's a change. And there's going to be some good works in that change. Let's go now to 1 Timothy 6. We're in 1 Timothy. Let's go to 6th chapter and read 17 to 19.
Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life.
Do you see? They might be saved, but then they need to do good. They need to distribute. They got a lot of money, not just hoard it up for themselves or be selfish and all, but willing to give to others, willing to communicate. All of these are good works. It says, laying up in store for yourself a good foundation against the time to come. And so that's what we want to have, good works. Whether we are rich or whether we are poor or whatever, if we're living for God, we want to have good works. to show that we that God's in our heart. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I say that I'm saved and sanctified, and I act like I'm saved and sanctified, would you have much confidence? No, you won't. You say, I don't think I want that kind of salvation. When we get saved, we need to have some grace in our lives. We need to act like we're saved. If we, every time somebody speak to us and we, you know, talk negative or sort of kick them to the curb, that's not good works. You know, sometimes when people get old, they have a tendency to be kind of cranky. And it seems like it's kind of hard to please some old people. But you know, when we get saved and we have the Spirit of God, we cannot claim I'm just old and you got to deal with me. We can't do that. We have to have the grace of God showing in our lives on a daily basis. We must not fly off the handle every time something goes the way we think it shouldn't go. We need to show grace. All of these are good works. You wouldn't think it was such good work, somebody, would you? If every time you talk to me, I'm grumpy and I don't have nothing nice to say to you, would you? You'd have a problem with it, right? So I have a responsibility as an older person. I'm old. I'm not saying I'm young, but I have a responsibility to show the grace of God, to have good works on my hands, right? Wherever I go, at home, in church. I don't want to live one thing in the church and another thing at home. I want to live a consistent life wherever I go, and a humble life, and a meek life. One, if I do make a mistake, can I say I'm sorry? Can I? Can I hug you and say, you know what? I was a little too harsh and I'm sorry. Yes. That's good works. How we live on a daily basis is our good works. How we communicate. This scripture said, willing to communicate. You know, you got to be where people can talk to you. Sometimes, some people, you can't hardly talk to them. You say something, they just get real, not too nice about it. We don't want to be like that. We want to be willing. If I ask you something, would you do this for me? And you do it like that. That's not the way. We need to have a nice way of communicating one with another. Let's go to Titus 2 and 14. Start 11.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that to die ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearance to the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
Look at that. God, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We're going to have some works. We're going to have some soberness about us. We're going to have some righteous living, some godly living right here in this present world. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing. We do. We're looking for God to come back. And so it is important how we live while we are waiting on him. It said, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. It's kind of peculiar way, but it's a godly way to show forth good works. When you're living for God, you are zealous of good works. You want to be good, to have good works all the time. You don't want to have some, I'm moody kind of person, that kind of stuff. You don't want to have that. Today I'm nice, and tomorrow I'm not so nice because I'm in my mood. No, you want to have good works every day, all the time. You don't want to be, I talked to her and she talked to me, so I don't even understand why she asked me like this. You don't want that. You want good works. Be consistent in the way we live for him. Not just one day up and down, but every day. You know what? I got a headache today, so don't be around me too much because I can't tolerate you. No. No, we cannot make excuses. This allow ourselves, avail ourselves to be zealous of good works at all times. Now I was thinking about these words. Sometimes we can be boastful. Well, I gave such and such to the church. You know how that there was, Jesus was talking about people doing things to be seen of men. I think this is Matthew 7:1. Sometimes we can do things to be seen of men, but God gets no glory out of that. It's not. Hold on. It's 6:1. It says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Sometimes people do things to be seen. Maybe so much. I want to give $100 to the offering. Stretch that dollar, that $100 out so everybody can see it and then put it in the offering. But that's not what God wants us to do. We just put it in there quietly, right? Because we're giving unto the Lord. But some people like to be seen. Well, I do this, and that the man said, I tithe. I give a tithe, tenth of all, tithe of all I possess. No, not to be seen of men. Because then you have your reward. He said they have their reward. Your reward is going to be, well, somebody recognize you. That's your reward. But it said, third verse said, but when thou doest alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to do our good works to just get somebody to look up to us and think we're doing so well. We must have a humble and a meek attitude. And also, we need to do what we do as our devotion and as our love to God, not for men to see, but because I love him so much, I want to do it. Let's go to Acts 10 and 1. Somebody read that for me.
There was a certain man in Caesarea named called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. How far you want to read?
Just the first few words, 1 and 2, I think. Maybe.
A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to people and prayed to God always.
Okay, we want to see. Cornelius was devout. He loved God. He didn't have full knowledge of Jesus at this time, but all that he knew, he was living a devout, he was giving alms, he was doing good works. But he did it because of his devotion to God. And then down, I think, read where the Lord spoke to him.
And he saw a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, and an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God.
That's good. So in other words, God's letting him know. And actually what he's going to let him really understand that Jesus came and died for him and for it. And he's going to get a deeper understanding of the things of God. All he knew, no doubt at that time, he was doing it. But then God revealed more to him because of his devout, because his prayers and his alms, meaning the good works he did, his prayers and the good works, have come up as a memorial before God. And so he told him to send for Peter, and Peter came, and he explained to him about Jesus. And he accepted the gospel. So this is what these alms and these things we do should be done with simplicity in our heart to God. Whatever we do, our lives we live and the things we do for others need to be done with simplicity. Let's go now to Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 10. So we want to be humble. We don't want to allow, even if we do good works, we don't want to get proud in our heart about it. Anybody have that? Ephesians 2, verse 8.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
You see, not that any man should boast. We cannot boast of any of the good things that we might do for the Lord. We do it unto him, and because we are his workmanship. God has made us, and he has created us, and he has blessed us and brought us to where we understand how to live for him and please him and how to do for others. But we have nothing to boast about. It is God only. Now let's go to Romans 12 and 8. It's just one part of this I want us to understand. It says, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that giveth. This is the part I want us to look at. Let him do it with simplicity. You see, we can feel like I give, and we can kind of get exalted, but God wants us to have a humble attitude toward the things that we do for him. So he that giveth, let's do it with simplicity. So we want to move on now, because we want to make sure that all the works we do for God, God will get the glory. Not us, but God. Hebrews 10 and 24, someone get that? You know, how we live and the kind of works we have will affect other people. We want to not only do good works ourselves, but we want to be an encouragement to other people to do good works as well. I was listening to another message, Brother Dan Adams preached about mentoring, and he was telling how that we should, the mentor, the person that is the mentor, should be an encouragement to the mentee, to the person that's being mentored. And when they do something well, you should encourage that. So we need to encourage good works. And this is one way to do it, because for instance, a person, maybe they haven't been saved very long. They try to do something, you know, they try to do something for the Lord. We can be an encouragement to that person. We can say, you know, maybe they get up and try to sing. They might not maybe be that great a singer, but they're trying. But we should encourage them. We should not be a discouraging element to them. And this scripture in Hebrews encourages us to encourage others. Hebrews 10 and 24.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
That's simple, isn't it? Just provoke each other unto love and to good works. You know that we can provoke people in the wrong way. You know, we can say things or discourage them, but we don't want to do that. We want to spend our time and our energy in provoking one another to love and to good works. Titus 2, 6 and 7. I know sometimes how we handle one another can make a great difference as to how well we'll do. So a person might say, well, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to bake a cake and I'm going to take it and give it to so-and-so. We can encourage them and say, for instance, you know, that's good works. That's a good thing. Or we can say, you know what? They may not even want that cake. And that would kind of hinder the person from trying to do good works. Whatever little that the person, the others can do, let's do our part to encourage the little. I appreciate your prayer this morning, brother, because, you know, we hear those prayers and it can encourage us along the way. But then we can also hear some negative stuff that will kind of be a hindrance. We have a small group here. We have a small congregation. But God, I believe, I feel that God's going to let it grow. I'm encouraged. I'm not discouraged at all. He said, where one, two or three of you agree, gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. But you know, we can encourage each other, and we can build. I believe the only way to really build well is to be encouraging. If every time you come here and you hear something negative, it will make you not want to come. So we want to encourage each other. If somebody come in here and they see we are enjoying salvation, we are enjoying our services, it'll make them want to come back. But if we come in here and it's like we're dead, we're sad, we're grieved, how are we going to be able to help somebody else or encourage them? We have a responsibility, and our good works can encourage somebody else's good works as well. All right, did anybody get that?
Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity.
That's 6 and 7?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil things to say of you. That's an 8.
Okay. So, I guess I don't know. Let's go to Titus 3 and 8. But we do want to exhort each other. We do want to encourage each other to do the right thing.
This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men.
Yes. Let's maintain good works. And also, if we read the scripture, one scripture says, all scripture are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, correction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We have the scriptures. The scriptures is also a help to us in maintaining good works. And that Titus scripture said, maintain good works. That means to maintain something is like not just starting it, but continue it. Maybe you did good for the first month after you got saved. You want to continue it. As long as we live, we want to show to maintain good works. And the way to do that is to get in the Word of God. Get in the Word. Feed on the Word. What we eat affects us. It affects the things we do. So let's read the Word and get grounded in the Word of God that we may be able to maintain good works. Now we're going to move on to conclusion. I want us to look at the fact that when we get to the judgment, we want to have those good works. If we have them, they're going to follow us to the judgment. Let's read Revelations 14 and 13. And ultimately, this is the main thing. This is the most important thing, that when we reach the judgment, our good works will be there.
Revelations 14 and 13.
Yes.
And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them.
That's it. When we get to the judgment, all our works will be gone. That will stop. It's finished. It's over. We can rest from our labors, but our works will follow us. So we want to make sure that we have good works, that when we get to the judgment and we're resting, those good works have followed us. Pray for me.